Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra Davav. We will begin in Davav Amar Aleph, 15 lines from the top, Toshma. To quickly review, in the previous shir we had a machlokes between Reish Lakish versus Abaye Verava, where if somebody claims he paid a debt prior to the time it was due, do we believe him or not? Abaye and Rava said we do. Reish Lakish says, to use the Gemara's words, "Vavai shiyifre bezmanoi." How a person pays at the proper time, we don't assume that a person paid his debts early. And the Gemara said that the hilchos of Reish Lakish, that we don't necessarily believe somebody to say that he paid his debt early. The Gemara then asked the following question: given that we follow Reish Lakish's opinion, the Gemara wanted to know if someone after the time the debt was due, where everybody agrees, then he is believed to say he paid his debt, comes and says, I paid the debt before it was due, but I should be believed, even though I'm normally not believed with that statement. Here, I ought to be believed, because if I wanted a lie, I could have said I paid after the debt was due, when the halacha does trust me. And the Gemara wanted to know, given that the person has this migui, that he could have said that I paid after the time, so believe him when he said that he paid before the debt is due, do we believe him then, or do we not? The Gemara has attempted to bring rayas to this question, to answer this question. So far, the Gemara has not successfully answered the question. So the Gemara gives it one more try. Tashma, the Braisa says, somebody comes over to me and says, "Manali biyotcha, you owe me $100. I'm like, "Hey, yeah, I owe you $100. Lamach amalei." The next day he comes to me and tells me, "Tneili, so give me the $100 you owe me." Im amar, if I say, "Nesatav loch, I already gave you $100, potter, I'm believed. However, if I claim, "Ein lecha biyadi, I don't owe you any money, chayiv, then I will have to pay." Says the Gemara, "My laugh. What is the Braisa referring to? The Satav Loch. That when the Braisa says, I'm believed, it's referring to a situation, the Amalei, Praticha Bezmani. I paid you after the debt was due. And as we just said, everybody agrees that if somebody says that he paid after the debt is due, that he's believed. And that's what the Braisa says, Potter, I don't have to pay. Whereas the case where I say, Ein lecha biyadi, that the halach is that I do have to pay you, must be that what I'm telling you is Paraticha b'toich zmani, that I paid you before the debt was due. And yet, the Braisa says, Chayiv, that I still will have to pay this debt. Alma, so what is the Braisa ostensibly speaking about? It's speaking about a case where the debt is already due, and I'm claiming that I paid you before the debt was due, and I'm not believed. Why? Because b'makom chazaka, since there is a chazaka that Reish Lakish established, that people do not pay their debts early, lo yaminan ma'ali l'shaka. We don't give him a migui to give him the ability to be trusted. Says the Mar Loi. That's not the way to understand the Braisa. What happened here is, my ein lecha biyadi, why am I not trusted? Because I say, lehoye dvarim oilam. Now I'm saying, I never owed you the money. Damamar, because we have a rule, kol oim aloy levisi, whoever says, I never borrowed money from you, is also saying, I never paid you. Because if I didn't borrow from you, I didn't pay you. And therefore, I still have to pay you. Ask Tosfos, just to try to understand the Gemara, why do we have to go through all of this complication? Why don't we just learn the Gemara simply? I first admitted that I owe you the money, and once I admitted that I owe you the money, I can't retract. I can't all of a sudden say that I don't owe you money, that I never borrowed from you. Why does the Gemara have to come on to say that kolay meloy levisi, kolay meloy parati dami, and I still owe the money? Because Tosfos says, where does the Gemara establish, it's Gemara Masechta Shavuos, When does the Gemara establish the concept of kol ayin milay levisa kol ayin milay purati? Is in the following situation. Somebody approached me and said, I owe money. I said, no, I never borrowed money from you. Then Adam come and say, it's not true. We saw him borrowing money, but they also add, and we also saw him paying back. Says the Gemara, the Adam are believed that I borrowed money, because Adam are always stronger than I am. But since I said I never borrowed the money, included in that statement is that I never paid, because I didn't borrow, I didn't pay. So even though Adam say I did pay, I will still have to pay. So there we could understand it. But in this Gemara, says Tosfos, why do we need all of this complication? Why don't we just say, very simple, I admitted I owe you the money. Once I admitted I owe you the money, I can't turn around and say I never borrowed money from you. Very simple. So Tosfos says, the reason the Gemara introduces this concept of kol ayin milay levisi, kol ayin milay purati, is for a different reason altogether. The reason the Gemara is introducing this concept is to teach us a whole new factor. It's to teach us that we don't say, when I come along and say loy levisi, what I'm really meaning to say is that I paid you. That's not what loy levisi means. And therefore, since I first admitted that I owe you the money, I can't turn around and say I don't owe you the money. Another point that the Tzais makes, the basis of this Gemara is Hadas Bal Din Kamei Edom Dami. Hadas Bal Din Kamei Edom Dami means that once I admit I owe you something, it's very obligating. But there's a question in the Achroinim, says the Tzais, what is the lumdus of Hadas Bal Din Kamei Edom Dami? And he quotes a Marivail, who says that Hadas Bal Din Kamei Edom Dami says that I'm saying I'm giving you the money, which is not the case here. So he says, from here we see that Dos Bal Din Kamei Edom is a Gzeres HaKosif, that once I admit I have to pay, it doesn't work because what I feel or don't feel. So at the end, as we finish this sugya, we don't have an answer to this question. So we learned in the Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah says that if the wall between the two neighbors collapsed, we have to rebuild the wall. Both neighbors have to participate in rebuilding the wall up to Dalar Amos. Let's say one neighbor wants a wall higher than Dalar Amos. He can't force the other person to participate. However, said the Mishnah, that if I showed that I want this wall, how did I show I want this wall? Because I built another wall parallel to the first wall at the same height as the first wall. That's what the Mishnah says. And it's obvious that I want to connect the two walls. So then it's obvious that I do want that height, and now I'm going to have to pay for the whole height. And not only that did the Mishnah say, but the Mishnah says, we assume that I didn't pay it unless I could prove that I did. Which is going to be the issues discussed extensively in today's shir. Amar of Huna. Samach lepalgu, samach lekula. The easiest way to learn the Gemara is as follows. Let's say, as we're learning, 4 amos I have to participate. You went and built an 8-amor wall. And I went and built a parallel wall, which is 6 amos tall, not 8 amos tall. Says Rav Huna, once I built a 6-amor wall, it's already enough that I have to participate in that whole 8-amor wall. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman, l'may de samach samach, l'may de loy samach loy samach. No, you built 8 amos, but I only built 6. And since I only built 6, I won't have to be, says Rav Nachman, I cannot be held responsible for all 8. So the Chazon Ish helps us understand the machlokes of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. He says as follows, as if you look at Rav Huna's opinion, it's a difficult opinion to understand. I didn't build an 8-amor wall. I only built 6 amors. So why is the halacha obligating me for something I didn't do? So answers the Chazon Ish. And this, he says, is the basis of the machlokes, of their machlokes. He says as follows. You went and you built an 8-amor wall. And I said, I don't need an 8-amor wall. I don't need an 8-amor wall. Why should I have to pay? I learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah says 4 amos is enough. The moment I build, says Rav Huna, 6-amor wall, it's obvious that that claim is a frivolous claim. Because if I'm serious that I really don't need more than a 4-amor wall, so what are you building a parallel 6-amor wall for? It must be that you really want 8-amor wall, and you're going to extend the 6-amor wall up to 8 amos, and therefore you're going to be held responsible already now. And you can't anymore make this claim, you don't need an 8-amah wall. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Nachman's opinion is no. Rav Nachman says, we got to deal with reality. And the reality is right now, I didn't build an 8-amah wall. And we can't, the halacha cannot creep into my mind and say that this is certainly my intention and obligate me financially. However, says the Gemara, Omaydrav Huna, the carnival of some. What is the carnival of some? So Rashi explains carnival of some like this. Sometimes I build it as an extension to an existing wall. And there it's obvious that I have absolutely no intention of lifting it higher. Here I built something that's 6 amos. And it's obvious by the nature of the structure that I'm not going to lift it all the way up to 8 amos. Where it's obvious that I'm not going up to 8 amos, even Rav Huna will agree that I can't be held responsible. And therefore, says the Gemara the other way, Umay the Rav Nachma Frieza Babiksa the Kshuri, which means as follows. Again, I built a 6-amah wall. But the way they built the walls is you have a wall, and then you're going to build on top of the wall a roof or whatever. And you want to give that roof a good foundation. So on top of the wall, I'll put a piece of wood, a big beam, or I'll make small holes and put in small pieces of wood for support for the additional amount that I'm going to build on top of it. Says Rav Nachman. What's Rav Nachman saying? Rav Nachman's saying that if I only built 6 amos, the halacha can't say you're building 8. You didn't build 8. But if I put the beams on top of the 6-amah wall, now we don't need the halacha to make any assumptions. It's obvious that I intend to extend this wall, and therefore, even Rav Nachman will agree that I'll be held responsible. Says the Gemara further, Om Rav Huna, Beikavi lohavi chazaka. And this, again, this is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. You built a wall that's 8 amos tall. I said, and you came to me, and I said, no, the Mishnah says only 4 amos I have to participate. Now you know that ultimately I'm going to build a parallel wall, and I'm going to want to then make an extension to connect those two walls. So what you do is you make holes in the wall that you're building, so that when ultimately I build my wall and then connect the two walls, I'll have where the beam should fit in. So when you built the wall, you left those holes. Now, and again, this is the way, there's a lot of ways of learning the Gemara, this is the way we're going to learn. Now, we have this wall with the holes that you built in anticipation that I'm going to use those holes to connect the beams. I come and say, and now you come, and then, again, we have to learn the story slow, then we get it right. Then I go and I build the parallel wall, the 8-amah wall, and you say, oh, now you have to pay, because you showed, as the Mishnah says, Megalgal Lofus HaKol, you have to pay now for the extension above 4 amos. So I say, you know, I did. I paid already. And what's the riot that I use to support my claim? I say, those holes that you left in the wall, Araya. Because if I had not paid, why would you have ever left those holes? It must be that you left those holes because I already participated and you left me the holes because I have a right to those holes, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Beikavi, leaving those holes in the wall for my beams to connect into the holes, lo yaveh chazaka, I can't use that as a proof that I paid for the extension. Not only did you leave holes, but you put casings around those holes. Still doesn't prove that I participated in paying for that extra wall. Domalei, because you, who did build the wall, could successfully argue, Amina lechapasisli leilisrashisai. I didn't leave those holes because you already participated in paying for this wall, and therefore you're entitled to those holes. Rather, I knew, you knew, that ultimately I'm going to build a wall, and ultimately I'm going to want to connect. And we know that it's always better to have those holes in the wall from when the wall was built versus making those holes into an existing wall. So you could successfully argue Those holes aren't the proof that I paid. Those holes are there because I knew you're going to pay. Says the Gemara further. And we need to say a word of introduction to this next piece of Gemara. There are those, Rishonim, the Ramban, that explain the next Gemara as a continuation of this Gemara. Where if something was built in the wall, can that be a proof that I already paid for my share in the extra wall above Dalai Lama's? But most Rishonim, including Rashi and Tosfos, don't learn the Gemara this way. They learn the Gemara with a whole different issue. We all know the famous parak we're going to learn soon in this Masechta called Cheskes Habatim. What does Cheskes Habatim teach us? Cheskes Habatim teaches us that if I'm on a property for 3 years and you didn't protest, and then after 3 years you come and say, this was my property, what are you doing on it? I say, this is my property. So you say, so show me the deed. I say, I don't hold my papers forever. I don't have the deed anymore. So if I claim that I bought it from you, and the fact that I don't have the deed is because it's so many years without you complaining, without you protesting, then I could keep the property. That's called Cheskes Habatim. But a chazaka is not only on a house. Chazaka is not only on a piece of property. Chazaka is there's another type of chazaka which is similar, called Cheskes Tashmish. Chazaka to use something of yours. The example I always like to use, given that I live in a place where there's not a lot of parking, is let's say you have a shared driveway and you have an easement with your neighbor that you both share the property, both share the driveway. Now, an easement doesn't say that I own your half of the driveway or that you own my half of the driveway. An easement says that I have a right to use your half of the driveway and you have a right to use my half of the driveway. That's called a Cheskes Tashmish. It's not Cheskes Tashmish. It's not called a Cheska. It's a Cheska to use something. It's not called a Cheskes Karka. It doesn't say that I own something. And there are many Machlokes Rishonim regarding the Halacha by Cheskes Tashmish. Some Rishonim say that just like a Cheskes Karka needs 3 years, a Cheskes Tashmish needs 3 years. Most Rishonim say that a Cheskes Tashmish only needs 30 days. Another Machlokes, as I said a moment ago, by Cheskes Karka, the fact that I'm on a property for 3 years is not enough to make it mine. The Mishnah is going to teach it to us a pair of Cheskes Habatim. A Chazaka requires with it a Taina, like I explained, that I said that I bought the property, I just don't have the deed. So Machlokes Rishonim, if a Cheskes Tashmish needs a Taina or it doesn't need a Taina. The Mefarshim debate, why by Cheskes, according to the opinions, which is the accepted opinion, why by Cheskes Karka do you need 3 years and by Cheskes Tashmish is 30 days sufficient? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is from the Torah. The Torah explains as follows. As I said before, when I buy a piece of property from you, whenever you buy a piece of real estate, you get a deed. So the fact that I don't have a deed is a real issue. Why don't you have a deed if you bought the property? So at least I have to have a taina to say, I bought it, it's already past 3 years, so I didn't hold on to it. But when you buy a tashmish, when you just buy only a right to use something, they didn't necessarily write shtaris. So therefore, there's no complaint to me, why don't you have a document to support your claim? Because it's not the kind of transaction that's committed to writing. That's why 30 days is enough. That's the Torah's explanation. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky gives a much more practical explanation. He says like this, when we speak about Cheskes Karka, it's not really a house, an apartment that's typically spoken about. Cheskes Karka means a piece of karka where you grow grain. And when you have a piece of karka that you're growing grain, you're not on that karka all the time. Grain doesn't grow all the time. It only grows in certain seasons. And it grows by itself mostly. It doesn't need your tending it. So you're very infrequently there. So to achieve a chazaka, it takes 3 years. A Cheskes Tashmish, again, our example is great. A Cheskes Tashmish is you need to park your car every day. So for those 30 days, you're parking your car every day. And everybody sees you parking the car. And the person who has a claim and saying, what are you using, my driveway, sees you every day taking your car in and out. So therefore, 30 days is enough. So now we begin the Gemara. Omer Nachman, achsek lehurdi, lo achsek lekshuri. If I had a right to put on your property thin beams, that doesn't give me a right to use it for thick beams. Because even though I have a cheskes tashmish, the cheskes tashmish is only for the narrow beams, not for the wide beams. And similarly, Omer Nachsek lehurdi, lo achsek lekshuri. Luxury, but if I have a chazaka to be able to put thick beams on your wall, so certainly if I could put thick beams, I could put on narrow beams. If you have thick beams, thin beams, don't make a difference. Achsek lehurdi, achsek luxury, doesn't make a difference. Ikedamri, another version of this statement. Om Rav Nachman, it's Rav Nachman stating, achsek lehurdi, even though I only have a chazaka for the narrow beams, achsek luxury, then I could use it for the thicker beams, and certainly vice versa, luxury, if I have a chazaka for the thicker beams, achsek lehurdi, I have a chazaka for the narrow beams. Similarly, says the Gemara, let's say my house borders on your property, and we have gutters and leaders that the water running off my roof runs onto your property. So says Rav Nachman, achsek lenafchi, achsek leshafchi. If I have a chazaka that the water runs all along the entire length of my house, that's how it runs off my roof into your property, certainly I have a chazaka that the water, if it'll all run off to one spot, it's certainly a valid chazaka. Why? We have to remember, they didn't have cement floors. They have floors made out of earth. So wherever the water runs off, becomes muddy. That's something that you really want on your property. So if I have a chazaka that all of the water that runs off my roof runs along the entire length of the house, so you have a whole strip of mud, certainly if I create a situation that it all falls to one spot, it's less of a chazaka, and it's certainly fine. But achsik lenatvi. If I have a chazaka for the water to run along the whole length of the house, I still have a chazaka if it's going to drop into one spot. But if my chazaka was that all the water should go to one spot, that doesn't give me a rate that my water should run along the whole length. Rav Yosef Amar, doesn't make a difference. I feel an achsek l'shafchi, even if my chazaka was only that the rainwater should go to one spot, achsek l'nafi, it creates a chazaka for the entire land. Ikedamri, again, another version. Amar Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman agrees. Achsek l'shafchi, achsek l'natfi, l'natfi achsek l'shafchi. It doesn't really make a difference. And one chazaka, if I have a chazaka for the whole length, it could create a chazaka just for one spot, or vice versa. However, says the Gemara, avel tzrifet urban iloy. Let's say, again, to help us understand in our world, let's say I had a regular roof. There's a number of pshatim how to learn tzrifa d'orbani. I had a regular roof, tar, flat, so it's not that much rainwater is running off. But let's say now I build on my property a hut. And I build a hut, and there's a number of differences between the hut and the roof. One difference could be that the roof is flat, so a lot of the water stays where it is. But if the hut has a sloping roof, so all the water runs down. So says the Gemara that Rav Nachman held that if I have a chazaka that my roof originally was flat, it won't allow me to build a sloping roof. Or another nafkamina that Rishonim explained is if I originally had a roof made out of regular material that absorbs some of the rain, so not all the rain is going to run off. But now if I made the roof out of a material that doesn't really absorb any of the rain, so more water is running off my roof, and I don't have a chazaka. However, if Yosef Amar, doesn't make a difference. If I have a chazaka that my rainwater can run into your property, even if now I construct on my property a tree for the urbani, it's that my chazaka is not affected. And says the Gemara, Avir Rav Yosef Uvda, but tree for the urbani. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah. Hamas Gabayis L'Chaveroi. If I rent you a home, B'Beir G'dayla, in a large home, and this is, I guess, their version of an apartment house. We have a large house, and the house is divided into apartments. The halacha is, Mishtamish B'Ziza U B'Ksleha. I not only have a right to use the apartment that I actually rented, but let's say there are beams sticking out of the house that people used to hang things on those beams. Or Kasleha, there are holes in the wall and people used to store objects in those holes. The halacha is Adal Amis. I could continue using anything that's corresponding to my apartment up to Dalar Amis away from my apartment. So again, the easiest way of understanding is if I rented an apartment, I'm allowed to use any airspace outside of my apartment up to Dalar Amis. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Uva Oivak Kaisel, which means that, let's say I rented the top floor, so I'm entitled to use the top of that wall since I have the top apartment. And let's say we have a flat wall, a flat roof, the area on top of the wall I can also use. But Mokim Shenagu. And Rishonim, I saw the list Rabbi Yonah discusses, of course, the Mokim Shenagu. We always follow the meaning Hamokim. Says the list Rabbi Yonah, what the Bryce is teaching us here is that let's say we live in a place where there's no specific meaning Hamokim. You rent an apartment, and there's no specific minhag hamakom regarding these additional areas. The Braisa is teaching us, he says, that I'm not allowed to use these additional areas. The chiddush of the Braisa is, he says, that even if there's a minhag hamakom to use it, a minhag doesn't allow you to do what's wrong. So maybe this is not an area included in what I rented, and therefore the minhag should not allow me to use it. Teaches us the Gemara that if there's a minig that everybody uses it, the tenant could successfully claim that that was included in my rental agreement. Aval betarvitz afandali. Tarvitz afandali means that people used to plant a nice garden in front of the house. Says the Gemara that the area, that garden, you don't want people walking there. It's going to ruin what's growing. So there I don't have a right to use that area. Rav Nachman de Dayama. Rav Nachman disagrees. He says, "Afil v'tarbitz afandani." Even the garden, it's understood. The landlord knows that that's the way people are. They don't care about the garden in front of the house, and they'll keep the things and they'll walk there. However, says Rav Nachman, "Avol rochav shachurei batim," the backyard, which is certainly a secluded, separate area. The fact that I rented an apartment here, and even if the backyard is within Dalar Amis of my apartment, it's obvious and clear that that is a separate area, and I have no right to use it. Rav Amma, Rav is even more lenient, and he says, "Afilu rochav shachurei batim." Even the backyard, if it's within Dalar Amis of the area that I rented, I have a right to use it. Says the Gemara, "Amma Ravina, haik shura." The metalasa. If you have a beam, and I left it, I put up a beam to be like for shade, and I connected it to your wall. Again, most Rishonim say that this is regarding cheskes tashmish. Atlas and yomer. If I have not used it for 30 days, for a total of 30 days, lo yaveh chazaka. But if I was there for 30 days without you saying anything, have a chazaka. Says the Gemara further. The sukkah the mitzvahi, if I have a sukkah. This question comes up very often. Let's say I build a sukkah on somebody else's property. Again, it's a very complicated question, and I'm certainly not suggesting that you should put a sukkah on anybody else's property without their permission. But let's say somebody put up a sukkah on somebody else's property. At shivi yomim, lo have a chazaka. For 7 days, I don't have a chazaka. Why? Because we could easily assume that the reason you didn't say anything to me is because not that you're satisfied that I put up a sukkah on your property, but you're from Jew and you want me to be able to fulfill the mitzvah, so you don't say anything. However, Basa Shiva Yomim, if I if after 7 days, that means after Yontif, Pashup shot in the Gemara, he still didn't say anything, have a chazaka. Furthermore, says the Gemara, v'chavri betina, if I connected the sukkah to the ground with cement, so even if you're a nice person and you're allowing me to put up a sukkah, I don't need to connect it with cement to be mekayim the mitzvah, there's l'alta have a chazaka. And there are two obvious questions in learning this Gemara. One question is, why by a sukkah is the shear 7 days, whereas by a regular hut, we said the shear is 30 days? The other question, Tosfos points out, is what are we assuming? How do we explain the Gemara? You didn't say anything for 7 days because you wanted me to become the mitzvah. But you know what? I can't take that. Even if you live in Eretz Yisrael, where nobody sits in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, you can't take down the sukkah till after Shemini Atzeres. So the Gemara should have said 8 days. Why is the Gemara saying 7 days? So some Rishonim say tup shatim, that actually the Gemara means including Shemini Atzeres. The Gemara wasn't specific about the 7 days. Other Rishonim say that their sukkahs might have been built so flimsily that there are ways to take it apart on Shemini Atzeres. But the Rishonim have a whole different approach to this Gemara. I saw two different approaches. One approach here is, this is a nice approach, is as follows. Normally, Avada, 30 days is what creates the Chazaka. So if I put up on your property a hut, and the Gemara just taught us a moment ago, you don't say anything for 30 days, it's a Chazaka. However, once 30 days pass, I have a Chazaka. What happens if the 30 days end, and that day is Sukkot? Do I have a Chazaka? Says the Gemara, no. Because it could be that you would have said something on day number 30. You didn't say anything on day number 30 because you know it's Sukkot and you want me to have a chance to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Then I saw a different approach in the Rishonim. Interesting approach. And I've seen the Sminik. And this is the Makar, the source for the Sminik. The Rishonim say that in those times there were people that had a Minig, they would keep up the Sukkah all year. They didn't put up a new Sukkah every year. They would keep up the Sukkah the entire year. So if I put up a sukkah, and I'm going to leave it past 7 days, and I put it up for the mitzvah, you, the owner of this property, if you truly are the owner of this property, and didn't give me a cheskas tashmish, no, this is going to be here forever. Because nobody takes down the sukkah ever. So for the first 7 days, as I explained, you didn't say anything, because you want me to be able to do the mitzvah. But now, once the yontif is over, if you don't say anything, you know the minig is that I'm going to keep it there forever. That's why you have to protest immediately. And if you don't protest immediately, it's a ride that I have a cheskas tashmish. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaya, shnei batim shnei tzidei rishus rabim. If you have two homes on two sides of the rishus rabim, ze oisa maka lechatzi gagoy, so there's a problem, and the two roofs face each other. You have the rishus rabim between them, but they face each other. So there's a concern for Hezek Riyah, as we began the Masechta. So, Zeh Oysa Makal Chatzi Gagoy, V'Zeh Oysa Makal Chatzi Gagoy. Each one of us should make a fence for half of the length of our roof. Obviously, Zeh Shalekin Agadzeh. So you should start at one side and go, and I should start at the other side. And, says the Braisa, Umadif. Madif means, if we make it exactly that where my fence ends, your fence begins, we still could have an issue of Hezekria. So what we have to do is to go a little further. Ask the Gemara, my Yeri B'Shus Rabim, why did he have to speak about a case of Rishus Rabim? A Philus Shus HaYochid Nami, even by Rishus HaYochid. And as the Rishonim say, why would Rishus HaYochid require it more than Rishus Rabim? Simple pshat. A Rishus Rabim, as we learned in Masech the Shabbos, is 16 amos wide. So if by Rishus HaRabim, where there's such a distance between the two houses, so it's very possible that I can't see what's doing by you, and you can't see what's doing by me, still the halacha is that we have to be concerned about Hezek Riyah. Certainly if what's separating our two houses is only Rishus HaYochid, a narrower area, so we maybe should certainly have to be concerned that I could see what's doing by you, and you could see what's doing by me, and that we should be concerned for Hezek Riyah. Says the Gemara, Rishus HaRabim Itzruchalei. There's a special chiddush that's included in the case of Rishus Rabin. Because ma the tamer, namely, soif, soif, ha'ibos, litz, the new name Rishus Rabin, which means as follows. When I have a roof, and you have a roof, so we begin to learn the habits of our neighbors. And I know you're on the roof, let's say, from 12 to 2 every day. The rest of the time, you don't frequent your roof. So I can know that if I want to do something private on my roof, don't do it between 12 and 2, because that's when my neighbor could see. Any other time, it's safe. That's possible by Rishus HaYochid, because I could easily learn your habits, and we don't necessarily have an adversarial relationship. Maybe you'll tell it to me. You'll tell me, you know what? I only am on my roof these hours of the day. That's possible by Rishus HaYochid. But by Rishus HaRabim, I can't know when you're there. Maritame, namely, Soif Soif, Habas, that's the new Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, what's the point of making the wall? Kamash Malon. Domalei Rabim, by Rishus HaRabim, I could argue to you. Bimama, during the day, when it's light, they could look up and see. Belaila Chazali, by night they can't see because it's dark and they have to look up all the way. At, you, however, are on the same level as I am. Bein b'yimama, bein b'layil chazasli. You always can see me. Inami rabim, ki kamene chazali. When will they see me? When I'm standing. Ki yisivnu, however, when I'm sitting. Loi chazali, they aren't able to see me. At, however, you, since again we're on the same level. At chazasli, you could see me, benki kamina, whether if I'm standing, benki yisivno, if I'm sitting, or rabim, the rabim have to concentrate, because they're walking in the street on the lower level. So to be able to see what's going on atop, kimi anu chazali, they have to pay attention. And it's not so nice that you should stop in Rishus HaRabim and look up what's going on somebody else's roof. Kiloi mani, but if they don't stop to pay attention, loi chazali, they won't see me. However, at, given that you're on the same level as I am, memela nami chazusli, that's why we have to speak about Rishus HaRabim, that even by Rishus HaRabim, we have to be concerned about Hezekiah. Omamar, says the Gemara, ze oisem makel chatzi gagoy, ze oisem makel chatzi gagoy. Each one of us has to make a fence, ze shalai kenegd ze, as I said, my fence should go, and then your fence should start, or madif. And then we have to make a little extra, because if it will be exactly, then we could still see what's going on the other one. Ask them a pshita. Why should I have to make the whole wall? Why should you have to make the whole wall? It's obvious that we have to make a wall. We should share. You'll make half, and I'll make half. Answers the Gemara. Le'tzricha de kavod minayu v'ovid. You started building the fence. Not a tema. So we should be able to say, Neimaleich idach, shekol oznika v'ovde at kula. You can maybe argue to me, I started building the fence, maybe you should be able to argue, finish the fence. Now you're not trying to save any money. You'll say, I'll participate in the cost, but you should build the entire fence. Why? So Rishonim give a lot of explanations. One explanation is, when each one of us is building a half, so the Gemara kept on saying, we said it twice, or Madif, it can't be exact, we each have to go a little extra. But if one is building the fence by himself, we won't have any extra space fenced. One pshat. Another pshat is, a half a fence is not a big job. It's very hard to find workers that are going to accept a small assignment. So maybe you should be able to argue, we're going to have a very hard time finding workers to build these half fences. So if you started building the fence, and you found a worker, let him finish the entire fence, and I'll participate in the cost. Kamash Malon teaches us the Braisa, Domalei, that I could say to you, at my Tamalei Avdus, why don't you want to build a fence? Mishun the Misra Ishesuch. Building a fence puts pressure on the wall, and therefore, you would prefer that I should build a fence. Anonhami Mahasrishesuch. I don't want to have more of a fence than I need, and therefore, even though I started building the fence, and even though as we gave the explanations why it's maybe preferable to have one fence versus two fences, I could successfully argue that you have to build half and I'll build half. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Gag HaSamel Chatzuch Averoi. That means, your chatzar is a high piece of property, and my home is a small property, so my roof and your chatzar are right next to each other. So we have to make a wall of dalat amos between the gag and the chatzar. Aben gag legag, between two roofs, loy. You don't have to make a fence. Why? Because a roof is not necessarily a place that's commonly used, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about hezek ria. Only a chatzar is an area that's commonly used, and we have to be worried about hezek ria. Rav Nachman the Deyama, ena zokel ledalat amos. You don't have to have a dalat amos wall. Avazokel mechitzas asara. You have to have a ten tefachim wall. Ask the Gemara, what does the ten tefachim wall accomplish? Lamai, ila hezek ria. If we're trying to avoid hezek ria, as we have been learning, aba amos binan. We need four amos. That's when you prevent hezek ria. If, on the other hand, to create a boundary, that if you come in to know where is my property and what's your property, ila nitvus alavaganif, b'mesipis b'almasagis. So boundary markers enough. Why do we need ten tefachim? If, on the other hand, l'gadoyim v'taloyim, I want to prevent your animals from walking onto my property, b'chdei shidloy yizdokar b'ras roishasagi, which is three tefachim. So what is the significance of the number ten tefachim? Answers the Gemara, Loilam Litfus Lov Ganif. The purpose of the wall of this boundary is to prevent you from walking onto my property. So ask the Gemara, B'Mesippus. So why isn't a Mesippus enough? Answers the Gemara, B'Mesippus Motz Mishtamatlei. Which is very simple pshat. When you only have a boundary marker, which is laying on the floor, you could always say, I didn't notice it. You could always say something of mine rolled over the boundary marker and I was just walking on to pick up my thing. So whenever I'll catch you on my property and I'll say, what are you doing here? How come you passed the boundary marker? You'll have a good excuse. So how to prevent you from having a good excuse? Tentfachim. Says the Gemara. Neisvei b'mesippus matz mishtamidlei b'mechitzas sarali matz mishtamishlei. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, in Mahaya Chatzer, Lamal Magago, Shechaveroi, if my chatzer is above your gag, ain't a skokin loy. My love, ain't a skokin loy klal. Don't have to build anything. We're saying that you don't have to build, you have to build tent fachim. And it says, Gemara, loy, ain't a skokin loy dalar amis. We can't force dalar amis. Avon a skokin, lamachitzes asara. Says the Gemara, Itma, Shtei Chatzer Zulamal Mazu. We have two chatzeres, the land is very not level, and one chatzer is above the other chatzer. Omrem Huna, and we have to build a wall to separate the two chatzeres. Omrem Huna, tachtem boine kenegdoi, the one that's on the lower level has to build a wall up to the floor of the upper level. The elyon boine mekenegdoi v'oila. And the upper one picks up where I left off. Rav Chisda Amar, and according to this, I have to participate in the upper wall, but he doesn't have to participate in the lower wall. The guy in the bottom, the person on the bottom, has to participate in the top, but vice versa not. Chizdama, El Yemesai Lamata Baina. Since this is the foundation of the upper wall, the person on top has to participate in the bottom wall too. Tani Kavasir of Chizda, Shtei Chatzeir Zulamal Mazu, Layoyma Ha'elyon Hareini Bainig Mekinegdoi V'Oila. I'm only going to start at the floor, where the floor of my property begins, Al Messiah Mamata Bona. He has to participate in the bottom wall too. V'im Hoysa Chatzer Lamal Megaga Shlaveri. If it wasn't two Chatzeris, it was a roof and a Chatzer, then the Lochdes in a Zakakloi, he doesn't have to participate at all.